sentimos que somos una sola comunidad, divididos nada más con dos banderas, pero unidos entre hermanos.
Somos un pueblo sin fronteras. We're a village without borders.
We share the same air, the same water, the same culture.
We see it as a third space, you know, not necessarily either United States or Mexico, but a third space where they come together as one.
It's not a line in the sand, this border. It's not arbitrary, like a series of dots on a map. Looking down from the bridge in Del Rio to the muddy waters below, Texas and Mexico seem to be two places, distinct, separated by the constant flow. Every place is someplace, but where am I? Standing on the bridge, one foot in the United States, the other in Mexico, a crowd of people straddle the line, straining their eyes upriver, watching for something. When a man in a kayak emerges from behind a thick patch of carrizo cane, I wonder where he is too. The man in the kayak, J. Johnson Castro, emerges, leaving the craft on the Mexican shore. He ambles up a steep embankment to the official crossing. The attendants, who usually collect 30 cents from pedestrians, wave him through. J. makes his way to the gathered crowd, but this isn't the first time he's done this, and it won't be the last. His story begins in the city of El Paso, next to the loud construction underway at the International Bridge, which connects the city
to
Ciudad
Juarez. Well, today we'll cross the International Bridge here. We're going to go onto the bridge and meet folks from the Juarez side. And we're going to form a human chain in solidarity that we get along, that we are one community, that we are in friendship. And the mayors are going to take the lead. They're gonna be the ones holding hands initially at the international line and everybody else.
The sense of community isn't something that usually warrants so much concern. But when Congress passed a law to build a secure fence along the Rio Grande, the community rose up in protest. Each day, 12,000 people crossed this bridge between El Paso and Juarez. And for Jay, it seemed a logical place to protest El Muro, the wall.
Podrán poner un gran muro a nuestro país, hermano.
He heads on to the bridge along with at least 100 others, including the mayor of El Paso. They each pay the fee, then walk to the center, where the citizens of Juarez await. The next day I follow Jay downriver and find myself wandering in the town of Presidio. I meet a school principal, and I ask how she sees Ojinaga, the sister city across the river. It's a quick drive across town, she says. When I ask about the $2 it costs to drive across the bridge, she dismisses it with a wave of the hand. Outside, I meet a school bus driver. He's a legal immigrant from Ojinaga. I ask if he still has family there.
You still have family there?
Yeah, my parents.
Mm-hmm. And do you find yourself crossing over to visit a lot?
Oh yeah, three times a week. Oh yeah. See, it's on $6 a week, so yeah. By 4 weeks a month, so on $24 a month.
Yeah.
For a year, of course.
He ticks off the cost of visiting his family, and across town feels farther away.
Maybe more.
In Ojinaga, the riverfront is not much to see. It's little more than a service driveway next to dry grass. But in the city of Eagle Pass, I meet the mayor of the town by the river, not on a service driveway or by a bridge, but on a riverside park.
My name is Chad Foster, and I'm proud to be the mayor of the city of Eagle Pass. Well, Eagle Pass, Piedras Negras, I'm in Piedras at least once a day. We grew up together. You have two countries, but we live as one community. But you really have to be from the border or spend some time on the border to feel the border.
My name's Monica Rich with the Interfaith Long-Term Recovery Committee. Yeah, it was in April and it impacted our community of Rosita Valley.
We had a tornado that touched down in Piedras Negras first. Of course, first thing you do is you call the alcalde de Piedras Negras. What do you need? It happened in a wonderful neighborhood that had some huge pecan trees. Well, the pecans had collapsed. So we're trying to get in some chainsaws and generators. Then we find that the tornado had jumped the border. It didn't respect any national boundaries and hit Maverick County. and then we went to address that issue.
There was 200 families who lost their homes, and a lot of families, you know, lost property and animals, and we had 10 deaths, I think.
The governor of Coahuila was in Piedras Negras within 2 hours with his whole cabinet after that event and stayed until they got their business cleaned up. And then the governor of Coahuila sent manpower and equipment to Eagle Pass in Maverick County to help us with our cleanup. And that's just an indication of the way we work on the Texas border. There was a fire in Piedras Negras a couple of years ago. Well, the Eagle Pass Fire Department responded to that incident. So we have very unique relationships on the Texas border that I don't think that the interior states are aware of.
It's different in different places. It's different to different people. But for all the grand constructions, it is a river, and it's omnipresent as I follow Jay's journey from border town to border town. The bridges connect as the line divides, that long line in the water from El Paso to the mouth. Jay insists on kayaking down the river at almost every stop, not the whole way, but at least a couple of miles.
I am going to need somebody to help stabilize this when I get down there.
We are standing on the riverbank, about 2 miles upriver from Shelby Park. The isolated spot is accessible only by a dirt road. Butterflies flutter near the flowing water, landing on wildflowers that grow by the riverbank. The land is disused. Bits of trash blow in the dust. Jay finds a spot to launch, and his friends help him into the water. He pushes off and waves goodbye before disappearing into the distance.
Thank you.
Okay. Last one there buys lunch.
Beautiful river. I wish that somebody else was out here enjoying it with me.
5 years ago, in this stretch of river, the Border Patrol thought it had found a dead body trapped in the reeds. It wasn't a body in the end, but the discovery in the river that day came to have another meaning.
Yes, I'm Father James Loyacono, pastor of Our Lady of Refuge. In the summer of 2004, the Border Patrol saw what they thought was a cadaver floating in the river, the Rio Grande. So when the police arrived and got into the waters in a boat to get the supposed cadaver, they saw that it was a nearly life-size statue of the crucified Christ. There was no cross, it was just the body itself. And I was asked by the chief of police, who happens to be a Baptist, if I would put in a petition real fast so we'd be the first in case they would give it away. I began to think to myself, because we used to have a tremendous amount of undocumented arriving at our doors. I began to say, well, maybe this is God's message to us. Jesus comes to us through the river as one who is wet, homeless, undocumented. We don't know where it came from. And I said, so I began to call him the Cristo Indocumentado, or the Undocumented Christ.
For years, Our Lady of Refuge ministered to the undocumented who came into Eagle Pass. For a long time, there were many. Now, there are few. Still, Father James stands at the intersection of geography, charity, and the law.
If I give a glass of water to one of these who arrive at my door, it's an automatic felony and a 6-year sentence. But the law of God precedes and takes precedence over the law of man in this case, the law of charity, the law of reaching out to the poor and the abandoned. I'm not afraid to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail, but I will go to jail. I will not obey the law. And in church teaching, an unjust law is not to be obeyed.
In McAllen, Jay attempted to make another grand entrance on his kayak. The journey down the border had attracted the attention of local media, and the resulting crowd was much bigger. But at the agreed-on time, he was nowhere to be found. The restless crowd began its demonstration. Jay's friends wondered whether he was lost.
I think he is.
He had measured the 5-mile stretch with a thumbnail, but that proved unreliable. One local says he could be 15 miles upriver. As the sunlight fades, his companion suggests that they ask the Border Patrol for help, asks whether they can drive a car up to meet him.
Does the Border Patrol have a road that goes all the way up the river?
No, they do not.
Okay.
You know, this is farmland out here. And you can't get him on the phone?
It's another odd intersection of politics and the land. For Jay, alone in the darkening twilight, it's no more and no less than a river.
You know, walkie-talkie.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, I really don't know how you could find him.
So now what?
He eventually arrives, an hour late and visibly exhausted. It was 15 miles after all. After watching this man on the river for 16 days, my sense of the border has become physical. This river runs through us. For 1,200 miles, it's there. So it's a strange feeling when the next day I followed Jay to its end, Boca Chica, the mouth of the Rio Grande. It's strange because the river is there, and then suddenly it isn't. At this one spot, the Rio Grande ends and just pours into the sea. 50 yards away, Mexicans from Matamoros and Baghdad play on the beach.
If I took my kayak to the other side and went and talked to these people, technically, I would have to go through customs in Brownsville to enter back in the United States. Doesn't that look frightening over there? All those kids out in the water, I mean, Mexican people fish all the way over. Who knows and who gives a damn about what is the international line at this point?
In watching people swim in the warm Gulf water, I can't tell whose water they're swimming in. But soon after I talk to Jay, I watch four fishermen swim over from the Mexican side. They are friends from Matamoros, they tell me. They bring a bucket and cast nets in the shallow water, catching a few fish and laughing. If the Border Patrol saw this, they could detain the men and take them back to Brownsville, even though the Mexican shore is a stone's throw away.
150 feet to the back of that pickup tailgate where that guy's making a taco. You know?
But instead they wade back to Mexico and disappear into the distance. I stand on the beach and watch the waves quietly erase the border beneath my feet.